All right, church family, I'm going to let you make your way back to your seat. I'm so honored that you're here in service with us. And again, I want to say one more time to the families that came out to give their agreement to their grandchildren or their extended family member who was dedicated. You blessed us by being in service with us today, and we appreciate it. And we're grateful to have your family as a part of Heber Springs First Assembly. I'm going to give just a little bit of, a preventative word because I'm dealing with a little bit of a sinus head cold or whatever. I'm going to try to tone this sermon down a little bit. You know, sometimes I get a little too loud and I feel bad later. But if I get loud today, I'll be without a voice in a matter of minutes. So I'm trying to tone it down. So I hope I can maintain that here today. But my heart is very heavy in a positive way to the Word of God. And I want to share with you just real quickly something that I made a statement about two weeks ago. I meant to bring it with me because some of you will think, Pastor Brown, you are preaching this message because you know about my situation. And that would be a yes and a no. It would be no, your situation did not spark me to preach this, what I'm preaching today. But obviously, if I'm hearing from the Lord at all, the sermon should address the situations of many that are in our church family. And back in January, I sat down and I took the book of Deuteronomy and I just asked the Lord in just kind of just quick, simple, nothing dynamic, like the finger of the Lord scribing on a piece of paper in my office there at home. But I said, Lord, just direct my thoughts to things that might be relevant for me to minister to our church family from the book of Deuteronomy. And each time that I've chosen one of those, I've just felt like that this was now the time to address this particular subject. The book of Deuteronomy and the Torah, the law of Moses, you've heard me say many times, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. And though it is the law of Moses, it still speaks to us today. It is with the law of God. It's the word of God. And God quickens it, makes it alive to us. He shares with us principles and precepts for holy living. And we see things. I've said this before. I'll say it again. Jesus won the victory over his adversary who tempted him on the mountain by simply quoting the book of Deuteronomy. And if it worked for him, come on, somebody. Amen. It can work for you. So I want you to stay seated for a couple minutes more, and we'll pick it up. We've got about 12 or 14 verses of Scripture that we're going to read here today. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And we're going to read about 10 verses there in the 6th chapter and about 3 or 4 in the 11th chapter. So here in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." I've used this text previously in this sermon series. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Verse 7. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Come on, somebody. "And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and of thy gates." The 20th verse. We'll pick it up here. Verse 20 in the same chapter, the 6th chapter. "And when thy son asketh thee..." Sometimes the greatest way to teach your children is just respond to their inquisitive question. And I know they can ask 1,000 questions. They can. And you have to temper yourself to not grow frustrated, especially if it's biblical in that context about God. "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son..." It's a testimony. "Son, we were in bondage. We had no hope." I don't know about you. Can you connect to that anything at all? I don't know about you. I was in bondage. I wasn't in Egypt, but I was in sin, the land of sin. and I was chained, and I was a slave to it, and I could no way separate myself from it. But a mighty God brought me out. Amen? And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. I think that's such a beautiful passage of Scripture. God brings us out that he might bring us in. It's never just to deliver you from, it's to deliver you to. Come on, amen. Bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes and to fear the Lord our God for our God for our good always. Catch that, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Now we'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 11. We have four verses of Scripture here. And a part of it is very similar to what we just read. If you would, stand one last time in honor of the reading of Scripture. And that will culminate in the reading of God's Word for us here today. Though I will be exhorting from a very lengthy passage of Scripture later, I will not attempt to read from it. It's too long. I don't want to say it's too long. God's Word is never too long. But time will prohibit me from going over it in the context of reading it in its entirety. Chapter number 11, verses 18 through 24, Moses again. If the author, prompted by the Spirit of God, repeats these words, there's a deep-seated reason why this is important to your future. He's writing this to the children of Israel, exhorting them. And it's almost a repeat. He said, wherefore you shall lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Verse 19, and you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by thy way and when thou liest down and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children. It's important what you do to have the generational blessing of God. That your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. So I want to preach to you today a message that I've entitled, it's a prayer. It's a prayer. It's this prayer here today. It's Lord, bless the parents to bless the children. That's what I want to talk to you in the way that I want to talk to you, if you would. So join your faith with mine in a simple prayer today. God, we're trusting you to bless the parents that they might bless the child, their own children. We're coming to you today, Father, humbled. I feel the Spirit of the living God among us today, and my heart is very pliable to it today. People of our assembly are praying for me, knowing that it is out of infirmity of the flesh that I minister the word today, God. But I do remember what Paul said, that when I am weak, then I can be made strong. And God, today, out of weakness, God, the strength will be the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It won't be in any articulate ability that I might have or not have, but it'll be in that precious gift of the Holy Spirit who writes the word on the tablet of the heart. My thoughts today go to our church family, and it goes to their family. And I'm going to ask today, as we tag team with the dedication that we had just a moment, we extend it farther. I'm going to pray that you will help all of us to see and to hear what you want us to see and to hear. That God, today would be something so impactful that we will see a generational shift among us, God, because of today. Something generationally could be changed from one direction to another because of the power of your word, God. It's in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen and amen and amen and amen. You know, as a pastor said it a moment ago, and this is what I was trying to think of, and I didn't say it. I couldn't recall it. We often walk with people from the womb to the tomb, is what they say. We're at baby dedication at times, and then we're also standing outside of a cemetery graveside with other members of the family. And you walk with people through the very challenging issues of life, the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows. And we see their growth, and we see the seasons of God's favor and God's blessing, and we rejoice. If I can just challenge you today, church family, rejoice when the people of God rejoice. Don't be jealous if God blesses them in a season in their life, or envious over them. You rejoice with them. Your day will come. Come on, somebody. Amen. You rejoice with them. But we also must learn to weep with one another as well. Because sometimes life takes us through some very painful and lonely places. And this is my observation after almost 30 years of full-time pastoral ministry and preaching the gospel now for almost 40 years. It's hard for me to say that. It's difficult for me to admit that in conversation with Sister Sherry, this week I was able to say, as we were reflecting upon a season of our life long years ago, I said, well, Sherry, that was almost 50 years ago. I still can't comprehend that we can make that statement. But we can. Yes, thank you. Some of the most joyous seasons of life we find involve our families. It does. But also some of the most painful. Some of the most painful. And as parents at times, I have just seen sometimes difficult and dark days for some parents. And my heart grieves for you today. Sometimes among us, we have husbands and wives who cannot have children for some reason. Some become adoptive parents, and we say, God bless you to all who have, but that doesn't take away from that moment or that season in their life when they had the trauma of realizing that they were not going to be able to have children. I've watched parents be with children that were sick, and hospital visit after hospital visit. Can't seem to get a breakthrough. Tragically, I've stood, and I've been the one that was asked to preach when they lost a child. I've had caskets sitting on the in remembrance table at some small country churches that I had preached at that were the size of a cake pan for the infant child that was lost. I've watched parents have to adapt to adolescence. You know, I'd never say the terrible twos. I say the trying teenage years is what I typically say. But in adolescence and children and their inquisitiveness and their energy, Sherry and I had two daughters before we had a son. And when a son came along, we realized we better change, and we better change the way we parent quickly, because those little guys will be here 1 second and they are G-O-N-E the next minute, gone. And you better parent with your head on a swivel. Are you out there? And so you have to adapt during those adolescent days from that little child that you could hold and hug and nurture and bottle feed, or for many ladies, breastfeed. But then when they get on the run. Then you've got the teenage years. Now again, in the Hebrew culture, they were so much smarter than the Western world culture, because they omitted the teenage years. You went from 12 to an adult, all in one ceremony. Come on now. Did we not miss something right there? Yeah. And so, you know, when children become teenagers and hormones are raging within them and body is changing and physically they're adapting and they can't think clearly, and So you as a parent, you have to adapt, and as your child is growing, you're growing. And then I've watched farther as I've seen broken adulthoods. I've seen children that tragically have been an abuser of their parents. That's one of the most difficult things that I have watched. It's one thing, it's certainly just as hard when you see a parent that as either verbally or physically abusive to a small child, but tragically we see it at times when the parent become the one that's abused, taken advantage of by a child that just won't mature and won't grow up. And as a pastor, I've watched it, and my heart grieves. I've seen neglect and pain. I've seen disappointment in a parent from an adult child that when there's no phone call, there's no support, or there's no honoring. The last I read of all the commandments, the reference of Paul in the New Testament is that we should honor our father and mother. And it's the first commandment with promise. And so to the children and the young adults that are listening, and every now and then I'll have a child come up to me and reference something in my sermon. It shocks me, but I'm grateful that they are listening. If you can hear Pastor Brown today, let me just tell you, you want to live a fruitful life, obey mom and dad. How terrible of an amen from our church family when I just told teenage children in this assembly to, if they want to live a long and fruitful life, to obey their parents. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so it's reciprocating in the kingdom of God. We teach, we learn, we train. The children learn. As they age, they grow. They learn to honor and respect, and we build what God intends to be as a healthy home and a healthy family. Last I looked, once again, in the Genesis, God said to Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. He reached a point and place where Adam was no longer good, and he brought him a helpmeet, someone that was suitable for him. And from it, they had the potential to cohabitate and create a child and therefore produce a family. And God spoke a supernatural blessing upon the family unit. And I believe with all of my heart that your house and your household can be blessed. I've observed from afar that the promise made to Mary long ago, Mary, the mother of Jesus, when her son, Jesus, born of the Holy Spirit, was dedicated before the Lord in the temple in Jerusalem, and one of the prophets and the prophetesses, but the prophet that took her child from her arms, and Simeon, the aged prophet, and he blessed the child, he turned and he looked at Mary, and he said something to her that cuts me to this day. He said, a sword will pierce through your heart as well. It can be painful to be a parent at times. There can be a cut no deeper, a wound no deeper than what you go through at times with your children and your family. And my heart is towards you today. I don't care who you are. My heart is towards you. And I'm praying. I've got a word for you today if your heart is receptive today. You know, I learned many years ago, and I've said it already, I'm going to repeat it, that is my role as a parent had to change as my children grew and matured into adulthood. That I could not parent them the same way as they grew. I could not parent each one of them the same way. Six children, but three boys and three girls. And we had some that just a look, no word, nothing, just a look, with just close your eye just a little bit where that shows a little bit of sternness, you immediately got corrective behavior. Immediately. And others I had to threaten within an inch of their life. And I had to address and go after and become fervent and just things that now as a granddad, I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm scared of myself at times. But it was different in those days. I don't apologize for it then. I would feel awkward if I was doing it now. But my intention was, I believe that children need discipline. I do. If a child left to himself or herself is a shame to its mother and father. You cannot raise children in front of a television or a gaming system and not have repercussions. Right? You have to be involved in the life of your children, and you have to change and mature. I can still remember, and this is my day. I'm the pastor. I'm preaching. You don't like it, you get to leave. But of all those six children, the one that I had the most challenge out of is Austin Brown, our Army officer. And he and I grew to be very, very close. He was my hunting and fishing buddy above all the others in the household. If I just thought about going, he was right there, ready to go. But I'm telling you, I have thrashed that boy more than, he got five times the amount of spankings than any other child in our household. Together, combined. But I can still remember the last spanking that he got because it felt awkward. He's 11 or 12 years old. And he had been a smart mouth. And I gave him a thrashing. And he took a couple of pops on the backside, and he took off. And number one, I knew I couldn't catch him. And number two, right there in my heart, it dropped and said, you got to change. Not he, you have to change. You can't discipline him the way that you've disciplined him up until this point. Something has shifted inside of him. I had to change and to adapt, because if I did not change and adapt, it would eventually lead to abuse. Are you out there? And so that's just a part. If we know that our children are growing and adapting, then we are growing. I just want you to know this as a parent. No matter what age that your children are, if you are silver-haired today and you got a job greeting at Walmart, I just want you to know, I believe this is the perfect will of God. Now, you may not be seeing it. You may not be living it as of yet. But the perfect will of God for your family is generational blessing. It just is. When God called a family, a unit that became a nation, he blessed the three levels of family: father, son, and grandson. Abraham, he said, I want to be known as the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And you have to know in your heart of hearts that there, even though things are hindering that, that is the perfect will of God for my family. Right? So for ancient Israel, the law was very explicit. The responsibility of the parent, and the law was written primarily in a masculine sense to the men, written in the family unit primarily to the men to lead their houses. And so, the text there was the sons asked the father. Now, obviously, mothers carry just as much of a responsibility, but we're just simply looking in context of that Hebraic law for just a moment of time. It was very explicit to teach your children. So I want to say this to you today. Discipleship of your child does not take place only in Sunday school or children's church service. It's not our responsibility to teach your children. It's your responsibility to teach them about the Word of God and the love of God. And Moses teaches Israeli parents to purposely and intentionally teach their children the Word of God. And you've got to be creative, and you search for opportunities. And the greatest way to do it is to center your life around the Word, right? And I believe in different levels of it. I believe that you need to have set down devotional times with your children. If there's one thing that I look back with some regret on, is that we followed, Sherry and I believe, did a fair to moderately good job of talking about the Lord as we went through everyday life. That it wasn't just about church on Sunday. It was about every meal was a time to give God glory. Everything that we put our hands to do, we could ask for God's blessing. Are you out there? So we could seize every opportunity to talk about the goodness of God or the exhortation of God. And when the children were small, especially me personally as dad, was very diligent to read to them, to sit alongside of them and read to them in the Word of God, in the Bible, in the story. But I got a lot of good sermons, I'm telling you, sitting there thumbing through the pages of a children's Bible or watching a program to the children. I can still remember we were watching a cartoon with our children about Jesus and back in those days, VHS. Does anybody remember that? And we had this series that we had bought, and we were so excited to watch it with them. And it was the story about Jesus when he went to the home of Jairus, the synagogue leader whose daughter had died. And he's arrived at the home, and the group of mourners are weeping, and we're watching this in our little home there in Shirley, the parsonage. And I can still remember it. It spoke to my heart, because they're crying, and Jesus, you know what the scripture says? He said, the girl is not dead, but she's asleep. And they said in the video, and so it was just added, it was just cartoon, but it just spoke to my heart. The professional mourners with tears spoke to Jesus and said, don't you think that we know death? And his response, as it was dramatized in the cartoon, he said, you know death, but I know life. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, you can get a word in your heart just in the journey of discipling your children. Right, that will keep you and protect you, and you can walk. We're hedged in. Moses said, keep these laws for your good. It's for the good of God. It doesn't rob you from anything. It protects you from a lot of things. So in different settings, you know, but as the children age, I lost a little bit of that. I should have been more diligent to sit down and say, man, let's have some personal Bible studies. Let's go. I know you're busy and you got all these classes in school and all of those things. I should have gone a little bit farther as they aged into teenage years and say, hey, let's have a Bible study together. Let's do something and work this out. And so I'm repenting in front of our church because it's our responsibility to train up the children in the way that they should go. And because when you do so, the Bible gives you a prophetic promise. Come on. And they will not stray far from it. And God will bring them back. And that's paraphrasing that promise in the book of Proverbs. So I want to encourage all the parents that do have children at home here today. And it's not just about you that I'm talking. Actually, my heart today, the stimulus for this message is probably greater for the parent that doesn't have children at home today, that has adult children. I have felt a burden in my heart for some that are in our church family that have gotten some trauma and some very difficult situations. And I just want to be the pastor that comes in front of you that hopefully could give you good counsel, good instruction, and give you hope. If you say, Pastor Brown, it's not false hope. With God, all things are possible. I just believe it's my responsibility to charge you to don't give up, but to believe in God. If I can challenge the parents that are at home today with your children, control the culture of your home. Control the culture. Did you know in Deuteronomy 7, 25 and 26, I'm not going to have you read it, but it just said, especially in the 26th verse, it said, don't bring an abomination into your house. Right? I mean, you got to be guarded in our generation, don't you? I mean, it's probably been that way all along, but it seems to be worse now than it has been previously because things can be brought in through the tool of media that can be destructive. It can give place to the enemy. Did you know the Bible challenges us as parents to neither give place to the enemy? And one of the greatest ways that you can give place to the enemy is through the tool of media, through television, movies, and through song and literature. Right, the adversary can gain a stronghold in the heart and the mind and the life of our children. And so we have got to be very, very guarded and you got to protect your home. And I know that children will pull on you and they'll tug on you and they'll ask and that sometimes they'll sneak around and they'll do this or that. But I want to remind you, you are an authority in the name of Jesus. It's not their home. They get to live there. Right, your children is not their home. It's your home. And you are charged by God to keep the garden that God's given you, to keep it, to hedge it, to protect it, because the adversary wants in. He wants to steal, kill, and to destroy. He wants your spouse, he wants your family, he wants your children and your children's children. And you got to be girded, and you got to be guarded, and you got to be wise, and you got to be vigilant, and you got to be sober, and you got to fight a good fight of faith. And it's not all in the flesh, and it's not all about discipline or spankings. Sometimes it's about you just getting alone at home in your house and crying out to a living God and saying, God, I need your help. I need the power of the Holy Spirit because I can't deal with this. You got to help me and what's going on in my house in Jesus' name. But I want to also challenge you, an abomination is not just things. It's not just media. It's not just music. It's not just video. It can be your own. I know sometimes we get aggravated by our kids' attitude. Trust me. I got a reason to say I know. Yes, thank you. So we know. But sometimes it's our attitude that sours the room. Sometimes it's the parent, and we carry the frustrations and the challenges of our job and of life and of the difficult situations that we might find ourselves, and we carry some of that trauma with us back into our house. Brother, you better leave it at the door. Come on, don't carry that into your home. Don't carry hatred or malice or neglect. Don't carry words that cut and wound and scar children. I know they tried to teach your children, they responded, they said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. That's one of the greatest lies. You can scar a child for the rest of their life by a word that you said to them or about them. So guard the culture of your home as a parent. Parent, I want to encourage you today, the way you treat your spouse will be the first revelation of faith to your child. The way you treat your spouse. Sherry and I occasionally have argued in 39 years of marriage. But very few. And only a couple of times have my children ever saw or heard any of that tension. Now, had you been there for the Razorback game yesterday, you would have saw a sister, side of Sister Sherry that would have surprised you. She was caught up. She was caught up. Worse than I was. I was fighting this infection. So I was on reserve status. But I just want you to know, you got to protect your relationship as a husband and wife and the words that you say to each other. Come on, you can't be saying ugly things to each other as husband and wife and wife and husband and expect that not to negatively affect your children. That's the first revelation of faith, of a relationship. When they say, what's a relationship like? They should see in the spouse, mom and dad, husband and wife, some type of relationship that fosters love and respect, that wants to nurture them towards Christ. Remember, I just told these three couples today, it's their highest calling is to direct their children to the Lord. And if you're backbiting each other and pulling one another down and speaking negatively about one another, how can you expect your children to see faith inside of you? They can't. And number two, so if that's the first revelation of faith to your children, the greatest revelation of the kingdom of God to your child will be the way you treat them. Or it can be. Rather, let me say this, it should be. I don't believe that your children should say, I had no clear witness of the gospel. I believe your children should say, I saw it every day. I saw it in their words. I heard it in their words, excuse me, and I saw it in their actions. I learned to love God as Father because I had a father who loved God and loved me. Come on, that's the highest level. Let me tell you, it's not too late to change. You can break the pattern of the past. And I want you to know today, you may have been raised in the most difficult situation. My heart wrenches inside of me when I think of the horrors that men and women have lived in. Children, when they came through abuse, verbally, physically, sexually, whatever, neglect, things that have been said to them, and they've been cut and wounded. But I came along to tell you today, we serve a mighty God today, a God of all grace. You can be out with the old and in with the new, and God can cause you to forget by the power of the Holy Spirit, and He can heal the hurt and your wounds. And let me tell you, that was the adversary speaking through that parent. It wasn't God. The voice of God is love and grace and mercy towards your life. Yes, God corrects. Yes, God chastises, but He chastises out of His love as a parent for us. Amen. And so I want you to know today, in Jesus' name, I grieve over maybe the way that you were raised. Some of you, obviously not all of you, there's a few among us that you had such trauma in your childhood years, but I just want you to know, make it your goal in life to break that pattern of behavior. Make it your goal to say, you know what, we're not going to continue in that. A new day is going to be born. And I know that as I'm preaching today, I'm preaching to a wide swath of men and women, from senior saints among us with grandchildren to young adults that are not even married, single as of yet. But I tell you, you don't start too early to learn some of these principles. Get them in your heart and life now, and you can continue that blessing of God. So I got one kind of thought to end on here today, and it's a large thought. It's a few nuggets of truth I want to drop in your heart, but it's the prophetic word that I believe is to you here today. There's a story in Scripture that's inspired me for many years, and a lot of the principles about parenting and promises, prophetic promises, I found in this one particular passage. It comes to us at a unique time. It's a time when the children of Israel have grieved and groaned and travailed under the Roman occupation, believing in the coming of Messiah and hoping and praying for His soon and sudden appearance. And the story is told to us by the beloved physician Luke that there was a priest in those days who is married to a daughter of a priest, because priests were required to marry within their family unit. And they were both righteous before God, keeping the Torah that we just read. We read where it said, you keep the Torah. They kept the Torah blameless, without fault. And yet, despite the Torah promising to bless the wife's womb, Zacharias' wife, Elizabeth, was barren. I don't know the trauma that they went through. In that culture, when you didn't have children, it could be a really difficult thing for the mom especially, or for the wife. Some looked upon them as cursed by God because they couldn't conceive. And so in those days, there was a rotation of priesthood, and meaning rotation of priesthood that you didn't serve in the temple all the time, but you would go and then you would come back and you would go. And so he's now aged. Zacharias is long past the age of being a father, and his wife is long past the age of conceiving a child. He's given the responsibility to actually burn incense in the holy temple. He has the opportunity as crowds are gathered outside. It's a sacred honor. Many times family members traveled from afar, just like you came today for the dedication of your grandchildren. Often family members would accompany their priestly, family member who was serving in the temple when they had such a sacred honor to go past the veil into the holy place and stand there before the table of shewbread and there in front of the golden altar and also with the illumination of the lampstand. And while there in that holy place, not the most holy place reserved for the high priest, but there in the holy place, as he would have been there to trim the lamp and to burn incense on the golden altar, there Zacharias is startled by the appearance of the angel of God. The angel of God that had been sent from the right hand of God himself, Gabriel, is sent. And I imagine it scared Zacharias, and it would have scared you too. There's no record he spoke in tongues, but I imagine he was close. Because nobody could be there, and suddenly there's this angelic being that's there that's appeared to Zacharias, and he speaks to him, and he says something that has stood out to me. All these many years, he says something to Zacharias. He says, Zacharias, fear not. Don't be afraid. That's always God. God says, fear not. The devil says, fear. God says, fear not. And so the angel of the Lord spoke to him, and he said this. Listen to what he said. He said, Zacharias, your prayer is heard. Now, why does that stand out to us today? Because I'm here to tell you that Zacharias was an aged man, and he had not prayed for a child in 20 years. His wife is barren, well stricken in age. He's on the edge of retirement. He's not prayed a prayer. But I came along to tell you, what will you pray in faith and what you hope for? There's a God in heaven that writes it down. And if you will just believe that God's going to answer it in His timing by faith, we're going to trust the Lord. I love the way the writer Luke said, your prayer is heard. It was present tense to him. It wasn't past tense to God. It was present tense, just like it was 30 years ago. It was the same to God that day that He promised. And He said, your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth is going to conceive and bear a son. And he's going to be a prophet of the highest. And God's going to use him. And he's going to go in front of the coming Messiah. And he prophesies. He speaks a prophetic word to Zacharias. But Zacharias stumbles in unbelief there in the holy place. People can stumble in unbelief in the holy place hearing the word of God. He stumbles in unbelief and he says, how can this be? I'm aged. I have no life in my loins any longer. My wife's womb is barren and dried and withered away. How can this be? And the angel of the Lord reproves him in that moment of time. And he is muted from that moment until the dedication of his child in the temple of the Lord. And I got a word for the parent today. If you don't believe what God says about your child, you can lose your prophetic voice. No, that's a poor amen. I love you enough to tell you, that's a poor amen. If you fail to believe what God says about your child, you'll lose your prophetic voice. So you need to be repentant to get it back. And you can also lose your priestly function. Because I want you to know today, the God that you and I serve is a God that will call things that be not as though they were. And God can look at darkness and call light. God can look at barrenness and call life. God can look at dead things and call them back into existence, because that's the kind of God He is. And God gives us that similar, obviously He's God and we're His offspring, but we strive to follow the example set by our paternal Father, right, who speaks life. And so when you do believe, your mouth can be open. And many of you know this record in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 1, how that when Zechariah comes and he finishes serving in the tabernacle or the temple, and he goes outside, and his family is shocked because he's lost his ability to speak. He cannot communicate. And they know something must have happened to him inside the holy place. And so without going back and re-preaching some of my favorite sermons about the old spies and how they went back and it wasn't a holy, immaculate conception, but that two old folk got together in the tent and produced a seed. And Elizabeth conceives because God brought them life in his loins and in her womb. And you know the famous story how that when she's 6 months pregnant and Mary now has heard the prophetic word from Gabriel, and she goes to her cousin Elizabeth in the hill country of Judea, and when Elizabeth hears the salutation of Mary, that babe leaps up inside of her, because he's set for the rise and the falling of many in Israel and the call of God that's upon him. And so the Bible does shift, and there's many verses of scripture between the early part of chapter 1 towards the end of chapter number 2, and a few thoughts that I got for your heart today. Here it comes to that particular moment where it's time to, Elizabeth gives birth, and there's much rejoicing, and they know God's up to something, God's doing something amongst them, and it's time to name the baby. And so according to the pattern of that day, some of the ladies get an opportunity without Google search, without choosing names that represent their family. They just start picking names, and we're going to name him Zacharias because he's his father's only son. We want him to be named Zacharias. But Elizabeth said, no, the angel of the Lord said his name was to be Yohanan. John to you and I, Yohanan, John to you and I. And they said, well, you don't have anybody in your family named John. What is that? Where did you get that name from? We're not going to name him John. And they said, well, let's go to Zacharias and ask Zacharias. And remember, he had been muted until the day that he would believe God. And so they said, what do you want to name your child? Well, he's lost his voice. He has no ability to speak in response to the situation. So he calls for a writing tablet. And there, probably in Hebrew, he etches out the word, his words, his name shall be John. And the moment that he struck the last letter of that word, Yohanan or John, immediately the supernatural power of Almighty God came upon him, and his voice is loosed, and he begins to prophesy in his own house. Oh, I feel Jesus on that. And the Bible then tells us, listen to this, that here's the first thing that he did. And I'm speaking to the parents right now, because I've got a promise that I want to share with you here in just a moment in closing this message, that the Lord's laid in my heart to cause you, when you leave this place today, let this promise be written on the tablet of your heart. The first thing that Zacharias did when his prophetic voice was regained, he began to bless the Lord. He began to worship Almighty God. And I want you to know, you can't bless your children if you won't bless God. But if you want to have the blessing of God upon your children, it starts first with you blessing the Lord and lifting up your voice. And you say, Pastor, you're going to make me one of those radicals. Absolutely. You ought to be a radical for the glory of Almighty God. Unashamed to bless Him and worship Him in church and outside of church and in your house, in the front yard, when you're walking down the wayside or laying down at night. I'm going to testify of the goodness of God and the things we've seen Him do in our lives. Zechariah prays a prayer. You got to read it on your own. It's so powerful. In his prayer, he says, God, we just want to live holy before you all the days of your lives. And then he does something. He says, give me that child. And he takes that child. And he begins to pray over that child. But listen to what he prays. He prays a prayer that corresponds to the word of God and what the word has spoken about his child. Now you got to catch that today, because your prayer can't be in frustration. It can't be in exasperation and see the hand of God. It can't be born in aggravation. It's got to be born out of a consistency of the spark of the Word of God that was sown in your heart and life. You can't pray the fleshly prayers and get the supernatural sacred blessing. You got to align yourself with what God has spoken in His Word about your child, or spoken in your heart about your child, and then you can see the supernatural power of Almighty God. And in that moment, Zechariah begins to pray, and he says, "And that child, you're going to preach the word. You're going to be a prophet of the highest. You're going to go in front of the Messiah. God's blessing's going to be upon you." The supernatural power of God comes upon Zechariah, and he speaks the prophetic word that was already spoken in his ear in the holy place. You've heard me say it before. You begin to prophesy in your mouth what you heard the Lord say in the holy place over the future and the direction of your children, even when things seem contrary to the plight that you find yourself in right now. Because let me tell you today, that's what faith is. God's word doesn't return to you to Him void. I'm going to share this with you, but I'm going to share this. This is the thing I want to drop in the heart of some, not all. No. It's for all, but it's for some. It's their season. Some of you may not live long enough to see His word come to pass. But you got to trust God. That even though you might be gone, God's word will not return void. And everything that you sowed, and everything you spoke, and everything that you believe God for, God's going to bring it to pass. You've heard me quote this before, and I'll quote it one more time, or I'll paraphrase it, Luke chapter number 3. 30 years passed in the history of ancient Israel. The Bible says in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being the governor of Judea, and Philip being the tetrarch of several places, two or three of Herod's sons are mentioned there. Annas and Caiaphas are the high priests. But listen to this. And the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. The aged man of God, Zacharias, and the aged woman of God, Sarah, that never saw it with their own eyes. But from the day that that father prophesied it over his own son, that word began to circle the earth, waiting for the day in which it would land and bring it to pass. And that's the hope for every parent under the sound of my voice today. If your children are in the far country, they're wayward and they're not living for God, and they're hurting and even wounding you, and you may be the recipient of parental neglect or child neglect as an aged parent, let me tell you today, hold fast to your profession of faith without wavering. Never give in, never give up. If you give up on your child, then they have no true intercessor left in the earth. If I can never pray for your child the way that you can pray for your child. You can never call enough prayer chains to have an effective prayer the way that you as a parent can call upon the name of the Lord on behalf of your child. So today, as I close, I knew I was dedicating children today. My heart is towards parents. It always has been and always will be. I want to see curses of dysfunctional behavior broken and generational blessing passed. The prophetic word to ancient Israel was that when your children are blessed and your grandchildren are blessed, it'll be as the days of heaven on earth. But I also know, but lived life long enough to know that every situation is not perfect, and there's some trauma in the church. And there's some that are not having days of heaven on earth. Some are having days of like hell-like situations on earth. And I want you to know that my heart is towards every one of you in your situation that you find yourself in. And if you don't hear anything at all today, hear this. Don't give up. Don't give up. Believe. When Jairus' daughter was dead, and they said, "Don't trouble the master any farther," here's what the scripture actually says, not the cartoon. Jesus turned to Jairus, and he said, "Jairus, fear not, believe only." and your daughter will be made whole. That should be the cry of every aged parent whose child's in the far country. I will fear not. I will believe only, and I'll trust God to honor His word. Father, bless the parents to bless the children. It's a prayer. The principles of faith that I sought to share with you today, briefly out of the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses gives instruction to Israel to teach their children, I probably did a poor job of expounding that passage there in Luke chapter number 1 for the sake of time, but I love that passage and I encourage you to go back and read it. I wonder what it was like for John. His parents are now deceased. Historians believe that John was a part of a sect of Israeli folk at that time called the Essenes. Whether or not that's true or not, we don't know. But it was a group that often, they were separate from the temple, separate from the organized Judaism, living out in the wilderness. It was a very disciplined sect with many washings and baptisms and keeping the law and the Torah of Moses. I can just see John, 29 to 30 years of age. He's unmarried. He's the son of a priest, but he's not in the temple. He's a part of the sect. He's given the opportunity occasionally to teach classes, and he's teaching classes, and he's going over passages of Scripture. And he's just sharing things that he's learned in life in general. But remember what the Word says, but the Word of God came. Can you imagine on one day he's sitting there, and it's just a little small group setting. There's a group of 8 or 10 people that are part of this sect called the Essenes. It's the bright, hot summer of the Israeli summer, and so they've chosen to go in during the lunch hour to just share some things around the Word of God. And all of a sudden, he was asked to share a passage of Scripture, maybe out of the book of Jeremiah, or out of something out of the Torah. And John starts to address it, and all of a sudden, his voice begins to deepen. His voice begins to break. And rather than giving dialogue out of the book of Deuteronomy, he looks at the group of men and women, and in surprising to himself and surprising to all his listeners, he says, as his voice breaks, he says, repent. Listen to this for a change. For the kingdom of God not coming, everybody had been talking about it coming. But for the first time in the earth, one says, the kingdom of God is at hand, because a promise made and prayed over him when he was a child by his father that aligned with the word of God came to pass after the parent had passed. Don't give up on God. That's what I came along to tell you. Don't give up on him. You can't just fight the battle in the flesh. Trust the Lord. Hold fast to your profession of faith. Y'all stand up with me. I'm rattling now. God bless the parents to bless the children. Who would come forward today to just say, I want to bring the needs of my home, my family, my children, my grandchildren, to the Lord. I know there's a great host of people and the altar fills up quickly. But who here today, without a very polished altar call at the end of my message today, who would have the courage to come forward and say, God, I just want to bring them. I'm not dedicating my children to the Lord, what was done a while ago, but I'm affirming the promises of God. Some of you, your heart's hurting. I know you. I know you. I know the wound of your heart. I know the pain of your heart today. And I came along to tell you today, don't give up. Don't give up, but believe. God's called you. As your children age, remember what I said, we have to adapt with our children. Let me drop this in your heart. The word of faith that you speak in intercession may be your only opportunity to bless your children at the season of life that you find yourself in right now. that may be the only opportunity is the voice of an intercessor. They may not give you the opportunity to hold them in the arms as these three parents did a moment ago. But let me tell you, the power of intercession can still be heard. You can still open your mouth, and you can speak prophetically over your sons and daughters. You may be 90 years old, and your children are 70. I've been in the church, and I've had folks in that age. I've had 90-year-old parent with 70-year-old children in the church simultaneously. And let me tell you, we're still mom and dad. No matter how big you got or tall you got or how much you accomplished, we're still your parent, and we will love you with our dying breath. We don't just see you in your adulthood years. I don't just see a 37-year-old daughter or a 27-year-old daughter or a 32-year-old son or a 30-year-old son. I don't just see them. I see a 5-year-old. I see a boy or girl riding a bicycle for the first time. I can feel the waters of baptism swirling around us as we drop down together and came out. We're the parent. You got to be the parent till your dying breath. You love and you pray and you prophesy and you don't give up. God, today under the sound of my voice, there's some brokenness in these homes. There's some hurt and some sorrow. My heart aches for some of the trauma that they find themselves in. God, would you help them today? Church, would you pray? Please, please. Help them today. Help them today. Help them today. God, there's young adults bringing their children. There's senior saints bringing their children. There's teenagers being brought to the Lord, laying at the Lord's feet. God, you know them today. God, help them today. God, help them. All of you that came forward, it took great faith to come forward. It took great faith to say, it may not be the days of heaven on earth just yet in my household. It's more like the days of hell on earth at times. But I need God. I need His blessing. I believe for it. I'm trusting the Lord for it. Get your prophetic voice back. Please hear me today. Get your prophetic voice back. Call things that be not as though they were. If they're distant, call them near. If they're hardened, call them soft. If they're unrighteous, call them righteous by faith in God. Come on, church family. That's what you're called to do. It's painful at times. It's not rewarded at times. But you have a God that cares and a God that loves. God, I'm believing that your word will not return void. God, there's parents here whose heart has been broken by a child. Broken. I've witnessed it. I've watched it. It's left me frustrated and exasperated. But you put this word in my heart today. Tell them, don't give up. I feel the Lord right there. Don't give up. The flesh says give up. The carnal nature says give up. But God said, believe. Yes. Believe. Yes. Align your prayer with the word. You can't pray outside the will of God. You got to pray the will of God. Yes. You got to get a promise. Listen to what Zechariah said. He said, and thou child. When he said that, he was repeating the words of the angel. Repeat the words of the angel. Repeat the words that God's given you. That's what you say. That's what you speak. That's what you declare. God, I thank you for every person that came forward. I'm not coming down and anointing everyone with oil just because I don't want to pass this code to them so you can say it's unbelief, but I'm just trying to be cautious. But my heart is for you today. Because I believe the heart of God is for you. He sees and He hears. Did you hear that, church family? He sees and He hears. Zacharias, thy prayer is heard. An old man. God had heard the prayer of a young man. Keep believing the prayer of faith that you prayed when those children were young. Pray it in faith. Speak it. Hold fast to it. Hold fast to your profession of faith. If you've said something that's outside of the will of God, pluck it up. You heard me tell the young couples a moment ago, pluck it up. Don't sow it into their heart and their life. Don't sow it into the situation. It's unbelief. It robs. God, the word of faith. God, for every person. Church family, stretch your hand forward to the people of God that are gathered here in the front. They're our family. We rejoice when you rejoice. We weep when you weep. We pray for the good things of God. Come on, let us believe. Fear not, Jairus. Believe only. Did you hear that? Fear not, Jairus. Believe only. God can bring dead things to life again. He can bring dead relationships back to life again. He can turn the heart of the father to the children and the heart of the children to the father. So God, today, it is with the word of faith that I bless every parent that had the courage to come forward. I bless them. I add my faith in agreement. God, today, give us generational blessing. The faith of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I'm just waiting in the Lord's presence. I know I feel a little bit awkward because some people may feel like they need to leave. And if you need to leave, just leave gracefully. But I don't want to take away from anybody who this moment means so much. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight it in faith. Love never fails. Did you hear that? I said love never fails. The love of God in your heart towards your children, love never fails. God, the parents that have younger children and they're dealing with some tension in the home right now because of behavioral issues, give them the wisdom to navigate those troubled waters. Did y'all hear that, church family? That's a good word. Give the parents the wisdom to navigate, to adapt and adjust. Let husband and wife be in unity one with the other. God, give them. Help them today. God, the aged parent who have adult children that was really at the heart of this sermon, God bless them. Church, pray this with me. It's my last closing prayer. I'm going to shut up and get out of your way. I don't mean to keep you so long. Heal their hurt. A sword has pierced their heart. They've been wounded, deeply wounded. God, your word says that you came to heal the brokenhearted, and that includes parents. Heal their heart and their wound and let them regather themselves and speak faith. Yes. And speak faith and believe. Fear not. Believe only. Yes. Fear not. Even God, if I don't live long enough to see it, let me believe it. Let me believe it, God. You'll bring it to pass because you're that God. You're a God of faith. You're a God of faith. So God, I've done all that I can do today. My heart has been very heavy with thy word and the emotion of this moment. I bless them today. I bless all the parents and the children, the adult children and the teenage children. and the young children, God. I bless them to, God, give them a respite. Give them hope. Write a new and fresh word on their heart. Write something fresh on the heart of that parent so that they pray with a fervency that they haven't prayed as of late, because you quickened a fresh word in their heart and they saw something and they knew that God put it in their heart to pray for their children in that capacity. Put it in their heart so that they can pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. I love you today. I bless the men and women of this assembly in Jesus' name. And all God's children said amen and amen and amen. Listen, I love you and I thank you so very much. I want to encourage you to hug somebody, love somebody, welcome somebody. Tell somebody you appreciate so much them being in the Lord's house today. Walk out in faith. Be reminded about young at heart.